Welcome to the IBJ podcast for the week of February 7th. The podcast is brought to you by Taft. I'm Leslie Weidenbinner in this week for Mason King. Indiana has never had a nuclear power plant. In the 1970s, Public Service Indiana started building a plant called Marble Hill in southern Indiana, but cost overruns and other problems eventually scuttled the project and almost destroyed the utility. And there's been little discussion about nuclear power here since. But now, new technology has Indiana lawmakers talking about whether to clear a path for small nuclear reactors that could help the state and the nation move away from fossil fuels. IBJ reporter John Russell, who covers utilities and energy, joined me to talk about nuclear power and legislation under consideration at the Statehouse. Here's our conversation. John, thanks so much for joining the IBJ podcast today.
Happy to be back. Thanks for having me.
We're talking about nuclear power, Yes. And that's an unusual topic of conversation in Indiana.
It is for the most part, because we've never had nuclear power in Indiana, at least on a commercial scale. There have been some experimental stuff at the universities, but no utility has ever built a nuclear plant here. Some have tried, but that's another story.
So why are people talking about nuclear power right now?
Nuclear power the industry has been pushing hard for a comeback for the last two decades, probably. So nuclear power was kind of a controversial topic, almost a dirty word back in the 70s and 80s. There were, lots of bad incidents. There was some bad stuff going on around the world of nuclear plants, big accidents, and it just was not a good industry image. But for the last few decades, it's had a stronger track record, a better image. And so the industry is really pushing hard, and it's got a cross-section of unlikely people in its corner, people you might not have expected, 50, 40 years ago. So it's got a lot of support from a lot of different folks across the political and financial spectrum.
I assume that's in part because of the push to get away from fossil fuels.
That's one reason, right? And that's probably, the best message that the industry can push. A lot of policymakers from the Biden administration all the way down to the state level and the county level have been pushing for a cleaner power, pushing utilities to get greener. A lot of corporations want more green power. And of course, you have the traditional environmentalists from the Sierra Club to, your local environmental groups that have always disliked the fossil fuel industry. So some of them say that this is a natural way to go forward to try and meet some carbon reduction goals and get the green transition underway.
You wrote a story about this for this week's IBJ. What prompted that story? What made you start paying attention to this?
Well, there's a bill now going through the Indiana General Assembly that would make it easier for utilities to build these small reactors over the next few years.
And let me interrupt you, John. When you say small reactors, what is the technology we're talking about right now?
Okay, so when you think of a nuclear power plant, you usually think of the huge traditional plants that go sprawl 1,000 acres or more and have these huge cooling towers and that you can see for 5 miles away. Those are on their way out, I think. All the talk now is about smaller, more compact, more flexible. And so these are called small modular reactors, or SMRs, and they're not 1,000 acres. They're more like 40 or 50 acres of much, much smaller footprints, and not something you can see for 5 miles away, but maybe five blocks away.
And how many people are we talking about being impacted by one of these plants, or how much power can one of these modular small plants create?
There's only one company today who's had its design approved by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and that company is called NuScale Power. They're based in Portland, Oregon. They were here to testify on this bill, they and a lot of other people, but they were the only nuclear power maker that has come forward and said, we want to get these things here in Indiana and other places. So they're the farthest along. So they make their small modular reactors in various sizes. They bundle the reactors together in groups of 4, 6, or 12. And each reactor is about 75 feet tall and can produce various amounts of power. But the bill that is going through the legislature would allow these small modular reactors that can produce 350 megawatts of electricity. So that's about enough to power a small city.
And so I interrupted you when you were talking about the legislation. So there's a bill at the State House this session that would allow these modular units to be used. Is that correct?
Yeah. So now anything and everything the utility wants to do in Indiana has to be approved. There's one of the most regulated industries in the state. And the regulatory body is called the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission. There are pages and pages and pages of rules and procedures that any utility has to follow. So this would just set out new procedures that a utility could go through to build one of these reactors in Indiana, because right now there is no process. And if you want to build one, you have to follow the rules.
How is the bill being received at the legislature?
Well, you know, if you go by the vote count, it's being received very well. It passed the Indiana Senate overwhelmingly by a vote of 39-9.
Was that a party line vote?
Just about. There was just one Democrat that voted for it. Every other Democrat voted against it. Every Republican voted for it. So you can see that it's still a little bit of a party issue.
John, who's the author of the bill?
The author of the bill is a very powerful member of the Indiana Senate named Eric Cook. He's chairman of the Senate Utilities Committee. He's been around a long time. He's also chair of something called the 21st Century Commission. Now, I'm going to get this. It's a long title, and I'm not going to try and get it right because I'm not looking at it. But it's an energy task force that has been in place for about 2 years that is trying to come up with new ways to guide the legislature on drawing up laws affecting the future of energy here. So he's co-chairman of that. He's chairman of the House or the Senate Utilities Committee, and he's taking money from the nuclear industry. So, no, he's a guy whose muscle is going to get this through the Senate, and then it's going to go to the House. And it's got the support of another powerful politician named Ed Soliday, who is chair of the House Utilities Committee and is the other co-chair of this Blue Ribbon Task Force. So you can see that the right people are behind this bill to make it happen.
Okay, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. This is the IBJ Podcast.
Taft, today's modern law firm. With more than 625 attorneys across 11 offices, we provide solutions to the business issues facing middle market and emerging companies alike. We do this through a highly collaborative and inclusive team approach. Taft, the modern law firm. To learn more, visit taftlaw.com.
Welcome back to the IBJ Podcast. I'm Leslie Weidenbender, editor of IBJ, and I'm talking to reporter John Russell about nuclear power. John, why do you think that the Indiana legislature is considering this bill right now?
Well, there's a lot going on, and there's no one answer, but there's a couple of big overriding factors. One is Indiana has, for the longest time, relied overwhelmingly on coal. And Indiana coal, it still gets about 60 to 70% of its energy, of its electricity through coal.
That's way down though, right? I mean, way down.
You're right. It used to be in the 90s, not that long ago. Utilities have used the coal to heat up water, to make steam, to turn turbines, to provide electricity. And you need something that you can burn to get the engines, the turbines rolling. So if it's not coal, what is it? And coal has been blamed for a long time for causing greenhouse gases. And Indiana managed to just push that to the side. But now it's come back as an issue that needs to be dealt with. It's funny to listen to a little bit to longtime coal, pro-coal Republicans talk about the need to decarbonize. And so we want to bring nuclear power to Indiana. I mean, these are folks who just a year or two ago were pushing for more coal, or at least as former Governor Mike Pence used to say, let's stop the war on coal. That was their chant. And in some corners, it still is. But now they want to decarbonize. And the Democrats, of course, have been against greenhouse gases and beating the drum about climate change for a long time. And some of them are pro-nuclear now, or at least giving it a fair listen, I think. So that's what's going on. You know, Indiana's behind a lot of other states in reducing its dependency on coal. It's trying to catch up.
And that feels especially important in terms of economic development. I mean, it feels like more and more companies are choosing states where they can get greener power, which then they report on their own sustainability numbers.
They're pushing hard. They're really pushing hard. And some industries that build big data centers, a lot of processing capacity, use a lot of electricity, some big manufacturing plants, it goes across the board. These companies really want to pull the numbers down, and they're leaning on utilities and states to use less coal, less fossil fuels in providing all the electricity they need.
Can Indiana not go nuclear and instead use solar and wind to build its way out of the problem of not having a green enough energy mix?
That's the big debate, and that's a really good question. Of course, the environmentalists will say wind and solar and battery storage are the way to go. And it's very possible to have enough reliable energy generation just from those while you're decreasing your carbon footprint. But others are more skeptical and say that Indiana needs what's called a base load of reliable power generation. Base load meaning something that's there working day and night that a windmill or a solar panel isn't necessarily doing. So the compromise they've come across is nuclear power.
What's happening in other states on this issue?
A lot of other states are moving in this direction too. States that have been just as pro-coal as Indiana, West Virginia, Kentucky, Wisconsin, have all in the last 5 years lifted long-standing moratoriums on nuclear power. Now, none of them have built any small reactors yet because this technology is not quite ready for prime time. None of these small nuclear reactors have been built anywhere. Some are in the planning stages, and the industry is trying to gin up more interest, but it's going to take a while for these things to really get to across the goal line, Indiana or anywhere else. NuScale, the only company, as I mentioned before, that has had a design approval on these reactors, says it will take 7 years to deliver one of these from the time a utility or a state says they want to go in this direction. So don't look for it to happen overnight, but in the next decade or so, we could well have a few.
And have any Indiana companies or companies that serve Indiana expressed an interest in building one of these?
None of the ones I've talked to have, and I've talked to a half a dozen big utilities. So the likely customers would be traditional big utilities like AES or Duke Energy or one of the other large companies that serve hundreds of thousands of customers, or a big factory or a big hospital that needs a super duper power plant. I haven't run across any of the above that have said we're in advanced talks or serious conversations with the nuclear industry to bring one of these to Indiana. But you don't hear about those things until they're ready to announce them.
Even though there is no nuclear plant in Indiana, and there has never been an active nuclear plant in Indiana, Indiana does have some history with nuclear power that could make it harder for people to accept a plant here. What happened in southern Indiana?
So, yeah, this is a really bad story, a disaster story from the standpoint of what happens when a company tries to build a power plant and runs out of money. Nuclear power is not cheap. In fact, it's probably the most expensive form of energy, at least on the front end. To build one of these plants costs billions of dollars. So back in the 70s, a utility called Public Service Indiana wanted to build a power plant in southern Indiana called Marble Hill. It was originally budgeted at $700,000, which seems laughably low today, and probably was back then. The costs went up quickly and overran the budget by many times over into the billions of dollars. PSI ran out of money and eventually just pulled the plug on the project and dismantled it, sold it for parts, and nearly went bankrupt in the process. and was later bought. Well, it was in a bidding war between the parent company of the old Indianapolis Power and Light, called it Palco, and another company, which eventually bought it, and it became part of the Duke Energy empire. So that's still a bad taste in the mouth of a lot of people for many, many years. And we'll see if that comes back as part of the debate against nuclear power in Indiana.
Yeah, I worked for the Louisville Courier Journal for a while, and the Courier Journal was a huge part in covering Marble Hill, not when I was there, before that. And I know that even when I came to the Courier Journal years later, people were still talking to me about Marble Hill. And so I doubt that bad taste you're talking about, I don't think it's gone away.
Well, there's another lesson from Marble Hill, besides the bad taste and what happened to one utility that ran out of money. And that's that these days, nuclear power, because it's such an expensive proposition, these companies want help financing these things. Banks, Wall Street don't lend them the money, won't give them billions of dollars for this technology. So they've managed to convince policymakers to let them charge customers for the construction and the engineering costs upfront, years before these things are ever up and running. And it goes on your monthly utility bill as a tracker, and it can cost a couple bucks a month or more. And so will that happen with these small nuclear reactors? The sponsor of the bill, Eric Cook, says no, but the bill has language that would define a small modular reactor as part of the clean energy law in Indiana, which allows certain types of utilities to have financial incentives, including petitioning state regulators for permission to bill customers upfront for the cost of building these plants for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years before the plants are even up and running.
John, I think you said that you think that the prospects that this bill could become law are pretty good. Is that what you're expecting?
That's my guess. I haven't polled the legislature, and I don't cover the legislature full time, but I've covered the utility industry for 10 years in Indiana or so. I've watched this thing, interest in this grow. I've listened to the debate. I don't see what can stop it. The preliminary votes in committee and on the floor seem to indicate there's a lot of support. It's got the right sponsors. It's got, you know, the industry money behind it. So my guess is this bill will pass, and then we'll see if it leads to something more like a utility saying, yeah, okay, I want one of these. And now that there's a way to get it, I'm going to stand in line.
John, I really appreciate you telling us about it. And you can bet that if that happens, you're going to come back here and tell us all about it. So thank you so much.
You bet. And we'll keep an eye on it. And I bet this is just the first of many, many stories to come.
Thanks again to John for joining me on the podcast. You can read his story about nuclear power in this week's IBJ. You'll also find two stories about economic development. Mickey Shuey looks at what the state needs to do if it wants to snag the multi-billion dollar mega deals that have been landing in other states. I'll give you a hint. It's about more than incentives, although money remains important. And Emily Ketterer writes about a legislative proposal to create innovation development districts that could be used to attract high-tech manufacturing. And Dave Lindquist writes about the 10-year anniversary of the Super Bowl 46 mural program in Indianapolis. The public art pieces were meant to last a decade, and now the Indy Arts Council is gathering input from the public, artists, and property owners to decide what's next for the murals that remain. You can find these stories and more in this week's issue of IBJ and at IBJ.com. Thanks for listening to the IBJ podcast. Mason King will be back next week.